What does it mean that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, the greater Moses, and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies? The New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. It's written by regular guest Dr. John Kleinig. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your pastor would deeply appreciate the New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews, 1-800-325-3040.
Logic doesn't work anymore. We have entered an environment in which thinking doesn't count.
We have all these kids today who really have been cheated by our society, and they feel that deeply inside them, and they can't really name it. And so they latch onto these social justice causes as a way to kind of validate and make them feel good.
They're calling them commemorations. The Reformation is not being celebrated. You commemorate something that is dead. So Rome is commemorating the Reformation.
And that's what's so wonderful about our Lutheran understanding of the Word and the sacraments, even of the liturgy, that Christ is there in our presence.
This is Jeff in Michigan, and I'm a woodworker listener. We love Issues Etc.
It seems like such a very, very harsh consequence, this story from the book of Joshua chapter 7. Now, the Lord had made a command when Joshua and the children of Israel entered the promised land and then began the conquest of that land, the military conquest of that land, that they were to set aside and not take for themselves as the spoils of war things that were dedicated to the Lord. And it appears the Lord was serious when he said this. Achan does this. There's an investigation, and it appears that Achan and his whole family die as a consequence of him taking something that was dedicated to the Lord in the course of a battle. We're going to be telling that story, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon. After we talk with Pastor Tom Baker, Terry Mattingly will be our guest. We'll be doing media coverage of an Irish soccer star becoming a Roman Catholic priest. He says it's a little story with a lot of big holes in it, illustrative of one of the things he often says is missing from media coverage of religion. Molly Hemingway will join us after that. We'll talk about two issues, climate change and having fewer children, and also ABC News calling a religious liberties organization, the Alliance Defending Freedom, a hate group. Then we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, our series Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 41. Fear not, I am with you. Joining us to teach Sunday school lesson today, Achan's Sin in Joshua chapter 7. Pastor Tom Baker, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Why had God commanded the Israelites, at least at this time, when they went to war in the kind of the conquest of the land under the leadership of Joshua, Moses' successor, why had he commanded them not to take the spoils of war from these conquered cities and peoples?
There can be a number of reasons, but the one, of course, is that therefore they were not going to war to enrich themselves. They were going to war to obey God. But more importantly, remember, many of these riches were then used later on, for example, by the building of the temple. So much of what God desires us to do is always to be shared back with God and therefore be devoted to God. I'm living among farmers right now, and it's not at all unusual that they will take some of their crops and give them to the poor, devote them back to God. And of course, when they sell their crops, they use the funds that they received as offerings to God in a worship service. So that's the reasons I would give why God wanted some things devoted to him.
Was there also the possibility that in taking these spoils of war, some of the things that these Canaanites treasured were actually their household idols, that idolatry might be a temptation to the people of Israel in this as well?
That would be a good point, because they would have had idols made from stone, carved wood, this sort of thing. And so that could also be a specific reason, yes.
So the whole story here of Achan begins with kind of the lead, but the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. Pick up the story there.
What had happened is that when they attacked the city of Ai, they even told Joshua they don't need the 30,000 men, which, by the way, they used later on in chapter 8. But they only wanted 3,000 men because they said there aren't those many people there. Well, they attacked with 3,000 men, and the men of Ai killed 36 of the Israelites and chased them before the gates, struck them at the descent when they were fleeing, and of course the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth before the Lord, and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought this people into trouble over the Jordan to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us?" He said, "We would have been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan, but you told us to come, and now all the Canaanites, all the inhabitants of this land, will hear of our defeat. They will begin to surround us, cut off our name from the earth. And what will this do for your great name?" And then the Lord explained to Joshua, "Why have you fallen on your face?" And he's making the point, this is not my fault. Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. And then he explains what they did. They took some of the items that were to be devoted to me and stole them and fled and put them among their own belongings. And so, therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Which, by the way, gives some real justification to your point, Todd, that the devoted things needed to be destroyed. And that's because perhaps some of them were idolatry. So he says, set aside the people tomorrow, and we will discover where the devoted things are. And what he did, he started by lot, choosing which tribe had done it, which clan had done it, that was the family within the tribe, which household had done it. And that was bigger than what we would consider our families today, including uncles, aunts, everything. And then they would go man by man. And when they had done that, they came to Achan, A-C-H-A-N, and he was the one that had taken these things. Joshua says to him, "Give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Give praise to him. Tell me what you have done." And Achan did confess his sin openly. He even begins, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel." And he said, "When I saw the spoil and a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I hid them, took them, and they are inside my tent in the earth." Now, what happens, Joshua sends the messengers to the tent, and they discover all these items, and then not only Achan, but his family, his sons, his daughter, his oxen, his sheep, his donkeys, they take him to the valley of Achor, which means trouble or disaster. And Joshua says, "You brought trouble on us, the Lord brings trouble on you." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire, and they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day, it says. That's what Joshua writes. And then the Lord turned from his burning anger. And the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor, which is kind of a twist on the words of Achor, which means trouble, and Achan. So the God brings trouble on the troubler of Israel in the Valley of Trouble. So that's the story that is going to be told to the Sunday school kids. Now, one point, and scholars are not agreed as to whether the family of Achan they were also stoned and burned. They might have been brought as witnesses, but if they knew what Achan had done and had not told anybody about it, then they would be in league with this, and they would have endured the capital punishment also. But it's simply unclear from the text as to whether or not the entire family, because verse 28 is pretty clear, where it says, all stoned him with stones. And then in verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones that remain to this day. So even with that problematic point, that's the basic story, that God is very angry that Israel, even though it was one man, similarly like Adam and Eve, Adam fell into sin, the whole world fell with him, and Achan sinned, and all of Israel was held responsible for it, in the sense that God was no longer with them in defeating the people in Canaan.
I guess there's a couple questions there, starting kind of at the beginning. You mentioned earlier why God had forbidden these things, but it does seem that God's judgment is rather swift and harsh. I mean, he allows the entire nation to risk itself in battle because essentially, and he knew in advance, obviously, one man had sinned. What is he trying to teach the entire people by this harsh judgment for Achan's sin of taking things that God had said should be dedicated to himself?
I think every Sunday school lesson needs to point to Jesus. And the way that particular point you're making points to Jesus, yes, there was one who sinned, Adam, including Eve, who brought disaster upon the whole human race because of the fact that we inherited that sin. Which also means, therefore, that if by one man we all are found guilty to be of sin, by one man, and that is by Jesus, we all will be made righteous in God's sight. And that's a promise that God makes in the New Testament, and we can see that that's the way he thinks. Remember, every sermon, every Bible study, every Sunday school has one goal, and that's to get people to think like God thinks rather than like we normally think.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson today. Achan's sin in Joshua chapter 7 is the subject. You can find this and more. We're only touching upon the highlights of this story as you find it in a great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. Call them and they'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Growing in Christ, a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. When we come back, the punishment is very harsh, but it's also pretty broad in its scope. The whole people are gathered not only to witness, but to participate in the execution of Achan. We'll talk about that after this.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, July the 20th, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, Achan's Sin, in Joshua chapter 7. Pastor Baker, the punishment seems pretty harsh here. It's not only the death penalty, but I want you to talk a little bit about the fact that the whole people both witness and participate in the stoning of Achan. What are your thoughts there?
Well, we see that even today, even in a Christian land like the United States of America, we have just a number of people who are committing idolatry, speaking out against God, but the whole nation suffers in this regard. For instance, President Meyer from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis here wrote an article about pastors, the need for them at the seminary. And one of the points he made is that our culture is changing. Today, it is not unusual for a couple that gets engaged to begin to live together immediately prior to marriage. Now, see, that was something that never happened before. And I guarantee you that even though that one couple may do that, it has ramifications for the entire family and for the nation. For the family, parents are embarrassed when they say, well, where's your son? Oh, he's living with his girlfriend now. Or for the entire nation, we're discovering that the rate for divorce is much higher for couples who live together before marriage. And so one sin does not just affect an individual. It can affect an entire family, it can affect an entire nation, and can really throw things out of kilter.
So this is not just a warning, this is a way that God... I mean, you almost could call this the first use of the law classically understood by Lutherans, that God is hereby, through this execution of this law and the carrying out of this punishment, he is, on a broad scale, curbing greater sin, mitigating the commitment of greater sin on the part of his people.
Absolutely. One of the distinctions that I found to be very interesting in studying this is there's nowhere that says that Achan ended up going to hell. And in fact, if you read Hosea 2:15, Hosea reveals that even the earth's most troubled locations, and he even mentions like the valley Achor, and that's where Achan died, will enjoy the hope that the Messiah brings. And so we've got an individual, his name was Saul. He murdered Christians. I fully expect to see him, now named Paul, in heaven. So we have to make a distinction between the temporal punishments that God permits to come to a nation, and that's your point about the first use of the law. It's the government to curb wickedness. And so even Christians are given tickets for various offenses in order to teach them to be appropriate in what they do. We're talking here about the seventh commandment, because Achan stole. And a lot of, well, I would say almost every other religion in the world, they think sin is disobedience. So they try and teach their people, you can offset that by becoming obedient. And therefore, they kind of have a balance. And if your obedience outweighs your disobedience, then you're okay. But that's not how God thinks. Sin is not only disobedience, which can never be outweighed because he's always expecting perfection, but it's even worse than that. It's a form of unbelief. For example, I'm driving down the street and I see a car in front of me with its trunk open on the expressway and a guy about a mile further on rolling his flat tire down the expressway trying to get it fixed. But nobody's near his car. And I see a tool chest in it. So I stop. I take the tool chest, I put it in my car. That's called stealing. But here's what I'm really saying to God. I'm saying, you know, God, I was driving down the expressway and I saw this tool chest and I recognize that it is my tool chest. The problem is you gave it to the wrong person. So in stealing or taking it, I am correcting your mistake, God, and giving it to its rightful owner, namely, me. Every sin is a form of unbelief where we do not believe that God's going to take care of us like he takes care of the birds in the air and the flowers in the field. And the final level of sin, remember, every commandment broken breaks the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So it is also an act of idolatry. What Achan did, he didn't just disobey the Lord. He didn't believe the promises of God that he would be taken care of, even though Israel had seen numerous times that God took care of them through the crossing of the Red Sea, to giving them manna, to giving them birds to eat and water. But no, he decided he needed this. So he did not believe the promises of God, and therefore he became God. And his punishment for such idolatry was the same punishment that God had given to Jericho, where the city was burned down.
So this is kind of similar to the New Testament account when St. Peter is collecting the proceeds of the people's sales of their property and things like this very early in the church in the book of Acts. And Ananias and Sapphira come and they just keep some of it back, but they present it as though it's all, and they end up dying too.
Well said. The brilliance of Martin Luther during this 500th anniversary is his explanations of the commandments. And that you shall not steal, and I'm reading from the Tappert edition here. We should fear and love God, so we should not rob our neighbor or of his money or property, which, of course, those two had done, nor bring them into our possession by dishonest trade or by dealing in shoddy wares, but help him to improve and protect his income and property. As in every commandment, Luther first points what we should not be doing, and then he points what we should be doing. So if we're not disobeying the commandment by an act of deed against the commandment, we often disobey the commandment by a sin of omission. And therefore, either by commission or omission, every one of us have broken every commandment. We deserve eternal damnation, but God instead does for us in Christ Jesus what it appears he might have done for Achan, where even the gift of the Messiah is meant for that valley, where though Achan was punished for his temporal sin, he was not punished eternally, because he did confess his sin, he repented of it, and he was bold in that kind of attitude.
The other thing we see here, and this is probably something that ought to be gently pointed out to the Sunday school children as well, that Joshua's role here is in immediately recognizing that there's a judgment of the Lord
pending here against God's people for the sin committed. And he is, although he questions God with respect to this, when he's told of it, he well, I guess you could call it, executes church discipline. Talk about that vital role in the church.
Yes. Some people think the office of the keys was initiated on the night of the Easter resurrection when Jesus said, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. But we already see that, and we're going to see it again later on in David when he sins against Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan comes to him. David does confess his sin. And what does Nathan say? Your sin has been forgiven, but the child will die. So a lot of times, even though we have that eternal forgiveness where hell will not be our home as it will not be for David, he still suffered the temporal consequences so that the name of God is upheld. And people don't look and see, look what these people did to God and nothing happened to them. So he's not a very strong God. We can go and conquer them anytime we want. And of course, our theology would be better than theirs. And that's why God often allows suffering to come to us in order that his name will continue to be honored and glorified both among the believers and hopefully among the unbelievers.
Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on David and Jonathan. Thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
Terry Mattingly will be with us on the other side of the break. He'll join us live from Prague. We're going to be talking about media coverage of an Irish soccer star becoming a Roman Catholic priest, a small story with big religion holes in it. Stay tuned.
If you've ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and have wondered why more people from my congregation aren't here, check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so the pastors of your circuit can organize, promote, and present a seminar that appeals to the members of your congregation, even the youth, is provided free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has got you covered. Check out the June-July issue of The Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer. $6.99 for six digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. EmmanuelPress.us.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.